when she's been, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Do we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment of the
chaotic vibe moment. And you're watching Black Vibe Reality.
Black Vibe Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and are listening to the Black Bi Reality Podcast, a podcast for Black Bi baddies and those who love us. I'm your host, Nicole Weaver. We are continuing our recap of The Traitors, and once again, I am joined by my co-host, Quita Tinsley. Hey, Quita.
Hey there.
Hey there. And this time, we have another Survivor guest. We started the season with TK, and now we have our returnee, Sabaya, of Survivor 45. Hello!
What's up, guys? Been a minute. Always love being on with you.
Yes, love being on with you. Sabaya, what have you been thinking about this season 3 so far?
Oh, season 3 has not disappointed at all. I mean, of course, being like from the Survivor family, we had a lot of heavy hitters that started off, you know, with Tony and Jeremy. It was sad to see them go so early, but Carolyn has been holding it down. Boston Rao was holding it down, you know, so it's been amazing for me.
I'm glad the first two weren't so heartbreaking. TK was like, I don't know what's happening. All of my faves are getting Spanish murdered left and right. I felt so bad for him. Now, in episode 7, Till Death Do Us Part, we keep starting in this turret. This is like the tension. You think it's the most awkward it's going to get until, like, it just increases. So this time, Daniel says she doesn't care who we murder at this point because no one's getting along. Rob refuses to answer who has a shield in his group. So now the distrust just keeps building, even though we're supposed to be on the same side. Rob, he finally gives names, and he's been given names because, honestly, Rob is drowning. He's been drowning for weeks. So what are the names? Oh, surprise. Derek, who had the most evidence against him, and Dylan. You think Dylan was brokenhearted at home finding out that Rob said his name?
I think so. Definitely. I mean, but I'm not surprised, though.
Yeah.
Because Dylan, he too close, and he drank the Kool-Aid a little too hard, you know? So sometimes people that can be, like, your diehards can also be blowing up your spot at the same time. And I think that Dylan was doing that.
How?
Because he wouldn't let anybody even suspect Rob a little bit, which is suspicious in itself because he is Boston Rob. So it's like, it was kind of making, to me, it was making them both look sus because he was like, oh, it's not Rob. It's not. Like, anytime someone came to him about it being Rob, which is a lot of times, so I don't know why he never got tipped off or nothing, he would go immediately to Rob and tell him, like, oh, this person, that person. And then that person would be up, you know, at the round table fighting for their life. So it was a shocker that Dylan never put two and two together for me.
I think he knows. He said something later that made me feel like he knew. He just thought that Rob would be his traitor at the end, that he can cut off last. I'll get there. I'll get there. So those are the names. Danielle has given Rob his murders before, so it's not very surprising what happens at breakfast, but let's get to breakfast. Poor Ivor gets called furniture. First of all,
right.
Brittany Haynes.
Brittany was so funny for that.
But that's what she's like on Big Brother. She's known for being sassy in her confessionals. It was just Bob, the drag queen, was taking that spot for quite a while. Now we're seeing it come out. But what Brittany doesn't know is that Ivor has been in this game. He's the one who gave us the gift of Wes versus Rob.
He's been doing his deals in the background, which I like a lot. I like Ivor. Abby kind of didn't even realize he was there too and started talking.
Right.
Oh, I cracked up at that.
It was like, I mean, what Brittany said was the perfect setup for like what Gabby does. You know, it's like when Brittany says it, right, it's like when Brittany says it, it's like, dang, like, because as a viewer, we're like, we've seen this, but then Gabby's like, oh, like, I was thinking Ivor, and it's like, girl, he's right there.
And they took a pause, too. There was a pause after she said that, and Ivor's like, Gabby, I'm here. And she was like, oh, my bad. Honestly, is this good for Ivor that he's kind of forgotten about like this?
Oh, yeah. No, and boot camp, we call them stanchion recruits, like people that can just coast bar. The drill instructors ain't worried about you. You don't have no billets. Like, you just get child to child, Sunday to Sunday, you go home. Nobody know your name. That's the best. Flying under the radar is the best in these games. You can assess. Everybody trusts you. Like, it's a good seed. So, I agree.
I agree. Mm-hmm. More people trickle in now. Ivor is worried for Tom and Dylan specifically, but Chrishell and Dolores want Tom out. Sierra, yeah. So they're Chrishell and Dolores. Like, I think I sadly had higher expectations of Chrishell, but now she's like getting on my last nerve.
Mm-hmm.
Chrishell annoying. Like, she just here. Like, and her vote at the turret pissed me off. Like,
oh,
everything. Like, I don't want to skip ahead too quickly, but she's just been, like, so blinded by whatever beef she had. Like, don't nobody care that that's your friend's ex or whatever. Like, girl, play the game. Like, you're way too smart to be looking this dumb all the time. Not dumb, but, like, ditzy. We'll put it like that. Like, it's kind of in and out, like, la, 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 you know.
Truly, she's not focused. She's not focused at all. So, after this, Alan coming, we find out, boom, Derek is murdered. Not a huge surprise. But then, Danielle puts on these waterworks. Okay? Honestly, I think she's genuine. She's been crying since day one. When she first saw Brittany Haynes after Big Brother Reindeer Games, if you don't know, Brittany betrayed her on that and got her knocked out when there were still more people in there. So she was very hurt by that. She started crying. I was like, okay, are we guilt tripping? She later says that she is using her tears for game. And then, but she was all over the place with Derek. Derek was kind of blinding her. She was acting a fool in that one mission over taking him down and everything. And then she's like, oh, yeah, you're my number one. Honestly, Danielle losing Derek, probably best for her, because he was really clouding her. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, I feel like Danielle has been spiraling since Bob left, right? Because Bob was her number one. And so Rob immediately taking Bob out really threw off her game. And so, you know, I think she's kind of been spiraling and just like making quick decisions because the strategy that she thought out immediately got like messed up by Boston Rob coming into the game.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like this, I feel like you're right about her crying this time being genuine, because Derek was actually her friend from, you know, back in the day or whatever. So I do agree that it was probably hard for her, and her feeling like Boston Rob is like jacked the whole game, basically. Like, every time they go into a turret, and I don't even have to wonder for the next episode who going home. I know it's exactly who Rob wants to go home every single time. It's been like that every time. Danielle has, anytime she has a ally, they up on the chopping block, you know, randomly. And what are you gonna say?
I am wondering if some of these tears is literally because Rob is going after her. Rob is going after her by 1,000 cuts. Bob the drag queen was the biggest one. So I think she is actually rightfully spiraling because he's just going after everyone that's close to her. I need to say someone framed me, and it just happens to be Brittany Haynes, who's working closely with Danielle. Get out of here, Rob. We see what you're doing.
Intimidation is crazy. And like the same thing with Bob. I feel like Carolyn hit it right on the head Rob don't like not being in charge. Anybody that knows him know he want to be the biggest person in the room. Mm-hmm. And Bob fill up the room, the hallway, the house, you know, like, you know that he there. So I feel like there was an intimidation thing when he was saying, like, oh, some of the guys. And I feel like Bob was just speaking in code, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, everybody was saying, oh, it's probably one of the three. He wasn't the only one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel like Rob, he's kind of been intimidating by us the whole game. And it's kind of crazy. And Carolyn, you know, she, to me, Carolyn is playing the best game out of the three that are left. Everybody thinks she's, you know, her crazy dramatic entrances at breakfast. Like, we didn't talk about that, but like, when she be coming in looking like she just like all faint. It's such an act and it's so perfect. She reminds me of Johnny Depp. Like, just anything that she stepped into, you believe it. Such an over dramatized version that it's like, there's no way this is fake. You know?
Yeah.
And she's just like a one of one in that way. Mm-hmm. I really hope that she ends up acting or something. Like, she's just, it's incredible. It's incredible.
You have visions for this woman. I am a Carolyn supporter, but I also think she's very genuine. I think it is a lot for her to get out of bed and to that dining room every day.
See, but like, That is why she's so good. Yes. Like, the thing about it is people thought the same thing on the island. Everybody write her off because people think that Carolyn's not thinking.
Yeah.
It's like, just because she has this rambunctious, over the top, kind of quirky, kind of weird, what the fuck are you doing type vibe.
Yeah.
Just because that's her, don't mean she's not a good game player. And I feel like too many times those two things are tangent in people's minds. And it's like, she's not Chriselle, you know what I'm saying? She's not Tom, you know, the boy that cried wolf or nothing. Like, no, she's just Carolyn, and she a little weird, but she know what's going on. She's very conscious, very conscious. And that was Danielle's mistake. Danielle didn't think that she was at the wheel.
No.
And
also, I think Danielle just knows who she wants to work with, and she was not going to want to work with Carolyn, which is like, okay, but also you have to for at least mm-hmm. a period of time. She's mm-hmm. Danielle's bad at faking it, but also so is Carolyn. They're telling each other they want to murder each other. Mm-hmm. But let's after breakfast. So Sierra tells Gabby, Carolyn, Dolores that Danielle's tears over Derek was a lot. So they're annoyed with her at this point, mm-hmm. but that's okay because they didn't say traitor. They just said it was a lot. Rod
and Carolyn was there. Looking
yes.
like
she didn't say anything.
Exactly.
Whatever. Now let's get to these messy boots. Rob and Dylan, they're talking. Dylan said Derek said if he was murdered, then it's Rob, but he won't tell anyone this. Okay, Rob was already considering you. Now he's really like, I don't want this young kid. He's doing a lot. He also noticed that Derek and Brittany argued before his murder. Now, this is giving Murdy mystery. This is giving Derek and Brittany in the hallway.
Right.
Candlestick.
Yeah.
I like
100%. I love that. And I also thought it was funny when Rob and Dylan were walking down the hallway and Tom had popped out. That's like, they didn't even see him. Like, they just kept walking. I was like, dang, like, poor Tom. You know what I mean? Like, he just be fighting for his life. But, like,
Maya, you did these games, right? What do you do when you're talking to someone and you know it's a covert conversation, but someone walks past? You're not going to switch up how you're acting because that just makes it more suspicious. Like, you got to keep going. And that's what they were doing. And Tom's like, oh, you're going to keep going? I'm going to join in the conversation then.
Right. I'm going to follow you. But I feel like that also plays into, you know, Rob ends up going home. Like, the ostracizing of people matters. And I would say that from Survivor, like, making someone obviously at the bottom is oftentimes people's detriment because they feel like they can just be a free agent. They don't got no loyalty to nobody. You know what I'm saying? So people that are at the bottom, it's important to scoop them up. You know, and honestly, Rob, he wrote the rule book on a lot of those, you know, plays. So it was kind of interesting to see him just have tunnel vision with Dylan and not, you know, play with Tom when he's obviously everybody has kind of pushed him out to the side as like the village idiot or like the jester or whatever. Like nobody's really taking him serious. And he's like the boy that cried wolf. He thinks it's everybody, you know, but. Yeah. Sooner or later, you're right. You know, if you think it's everybody, it's only to be for so many people, you know. So
yeah.
Law of averages kind of come into play a little bit. But, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I definitely feel like Rob came into the game and he was like, who is relevant to my game and who is not relevant to my game? And right. He made a lot of people irrelevant to his game and mm-hmm. just underestimated a bunch of people and ultimately that has been his downfall. You know, I feel like he ultimately like disregarded his fellow traitors, you know, and didn't think of the strength of working with them, figuring out. So it's like he came in feeling like Bob's game was like not strategic, was over the top, was threatening to him versus trying to understand Bob's strategy because he is currently running the game. So like, what is the game that he's running? So you can start to understand it to strategically make a move that supports all of the traders versus being like, I'm going to blow up this game because it'll mm-hmm. favor me and only me. Because it's mm-hmm. like, you've automatically broken trust with the fellow traders and you're not going to get that back.
That's why he's called the Godfather, because he just... You know what I'm saying? As soon as you go against the family, you out.
You're like, out.
That's what he's known for. That's what he's known for. But it don't work. I mean, at least now we can see that it doesn't work. In this mm-hmm. setting, it works on Survivor. I mean, obviously, like, mm-hmm. it does. But in this type of setting where nobody owe you nothing, we're not starving on an island, bro. We don't need you to build a fire. Like, we yeah. eating good. Like, you saw Tom hunched over the table. Like, he was getting it in. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need nothing.
Sabaya, I have a question for you. So, mm-hmm. it's... I don't know if you're paying attention to the chatter that's happening around this season, but yeah. Wes had some things to say about Big Brother people when he was talking about who the traitors are after the reveal with Bob Harper. They both were asked who's the most two-faced. One said Danielle, the other said Brittany. And he's like, notice we were talking about Big Brother people. And you just said Rob's strategy isn't great for this.
Yeah.
Does it look like is Big Brother transferring better with like they all have to live in a house together for months and months and months? You have to be good at switching up and being two-faced.
I will say that because Big Brother is only a social game, at least that's how I view it, you know what I'm saying? Then I would say that if you are a good Big Brother player, you probably have, like, you know, a traitor's season in your bag. But for Survivor, you know, Carolyn, Sari, mm-hmm. you know, these are social players, period. They don't focus on challenges. They don't focus on nothing but the people that they're playing with to get them and advance them further in the game. Like, pulling at your heartstrings, appealing to your, you know, inner human. That's what they're best at. So I think that Survivor players are good at traders. It's just the social players that excel because this game is 100%. I mean, even the challenges, it's like, yeah, it's about the challenge, it's about the money. But you know, even if they don't get all the money, they're just going to get the money later.
Yeah.
For some, you know what I mean? Like, it's not really challenge-based. It's not survival-based. Like, it's mm-hmm. all who like you, period.
Yes. All right, so... After that, Tom, yes, he sits down with these two. Dylan tells Tom that Brittany is suspicious. Rob says he's being framed. Tom straight up says to Rob, there's evidence against you, man. I'm really sussing you out. I think Dylan's trying to help him and give, like, a cover story. And Tom's like, y'all are BSing me. It's you, Rob. And Rob, you saw how he quickly got up out of there? He said, well, I gotta go.
I thought that was awesome. Like, hey, nobody's here. Let me lay in and see if he has a tail. Like, Tom is actually starting to play this game harder. And it's like, I guess him being alone, you know, and it's been letting him think and letting him really like weigh, you know, the dozens. But also just bringing up the fact that Rob said that he was being framed. Where did we hear that before?
Yeah.
Didn't Derek say that he was going to say that, or Wes or somebody said that in the last episode? Yeah. They were like, watch. And when it's me, he going to say, y'all frame me. I'm being framed. And it was so perfect that he said that at the, it was the first thing at his mouth at the round table when Derek ended up going, or who ended up going home?
Derek that morning.
When they took out Derek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Derek came up killed or whatever, at breakfast. There we go. Rob was like, they're framing me. That's the first thing out of his mouth. And I don't know if Derek had said that to someone else or if Tom had overheard someone saying that or what. Right. But I feel like once that was continuously Rob's excuse, it just was like Tom was like, no, it's you. It's
and
you, buddy.
It didn't even have to be that. It was the fact that Tom also said, but everyone who has ever accused you is gone. And it's like, there you go. There's
smoking gun.
The Faithfuls have not had long-term memory until now.
Right,
let's get to this mission. Alan is dressed in this in this suit / wedding dress. This is the most bisexual thing I've ever seen.
He ate that.
So we have people teaming up, but we're calling them couples, and they're going to have a wedding. They must hold onto a button for the longest time. Those who lose are in danger of murder. Now, this is a Big Brother game. Like, this is so Big Brother that I was like, okay, the Big Brother people are probably going to kill it. Of course, Survivor. Mm-hmm. So we had Dolores and Chriselle. They weren't going to last nothing. They were like, okay, we'll hold on to.
Chriselle strikes again.
I mean, I think Dolores was willing to try.
Yes.
Chriselle immediately. I was like, weakest link once again, Chriselle.
Oh my God. Didn't even try. I was so annoyed. Literally, I was so annoyed. And it wasn't even like it was that bad in the beginning. Like, yeah, centipedes are nasty. Like, I'm not a bug person, but it's not like they bite or they like really even move. They was just sitting there.
No, she dipped out so quickly. They're going against Rob and Sierra. Now, Rob and Sierra Capricorned this. Rob was like, I'm going to ask you questions. What's your birthday? Oh my gosh, I am, Christmas. We're both Capricorns. I was like, Capricorns get money. And what did they do? They got that money.
Period. Yeah, and I love that Rob was being so supportive. But again, putting on that challenge hat is like, look, if we got to win together, then that means you can't quit because I'll be down if I'm quitting.
Right. Yeah.
Can we talk about how Dolores' little goggles made her look hilarious? Like,
yeah.
Like the way that they strapped them on her head, it just made everything look so funny.
They had me cracking up. My goodness. And then Sam and Ivor go up against Tom and Dylan. Tom and Dylan, I think, did well, right?
They did, but Tom was definitely struggling.
Yeah.
Just, like, struggling.
He's always struggling. But
I don't think it helped that he had a hat on, so it was, like, catching everything. Ooh. You know, everybody else, they had, like, you know, it was just falling off of them, but his was, like, stuck and then crawling back onto him, like, oh. I just, Bad time to wear a top hat.
Now, Danielle, first of all, Danielle's outfit for this challenge. Can we give her all the wraps and gowns for the rest of the season, please?
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Right. She looked good. She did.
And once again, I was like, Boston Rob, I hate you. Because whatever outfit Bob the drag queen would have worn for this challenge.
Yeah.
And the fact that I don't get that. I'm just like, I can't stand you. I was like, I'm glad people are thinking it's you because I'm ready for you to go.
Maybe it was a good thing for me. Because I could see Bob wearing this outfit, actually. Bob and Danielle fought over this outfit.
Oh, man. Like, Bob would have came in there, I mean, down, like, just dressed peaked out perfectly. Yeah. Like everything was hung perfect. We were robbed with Peppermint with the fits. Like we need a drag queen to go the whole way because I just want to get into these fits.
And we need more than one drag queen on a season.
We do.
I agree. But I mean, also like, you know, the drag queens, they the queens for a reason. Like you think they're going to be, oh, you know, volunteering to be out here getting bugs poured on them. I don't know. I mean, Traitors is the hottest show on TV right now, though.
It is. It is. Yeah. So can't blame them. It will be entertaining at least. So for Danielle and Brittany, they're going against Gabby and Carolyn, and they make it through the millipede. There's tail whip scorpions, but they look like they wouldn't do anything to you, but it's still gross. Carolyn is focused. Alan's talking to them. Alan's trying to pull a Jeff Probst, honestly. He's trying to talk to these people. And what did Danielle do? She said, you can have this. Can you imagine if someone did that to Jeff Probst?
Oh, I'm sure it's happened before. Like, I know, like, when he talking and everything, everybody be like, thanks, Jeff, because he really be laying it into you. Like, I know, especially being on Lulu, because we suck. Like, he would just be like, wow. Like, basically, all you can hear him saying is, y'all suck. You suck. And they suck again. Like, that's all you hear in your head, you know? So, yeah, Alan was definitely giving Jeff for the challenge. I loved it.
For sure. After the scorpions, hey, we're dropping cockroaches on you. And, I mean, Sam, why are you smiling? I have a picture of literally the cockroaches dropping on him. Close your mouth. Right. Close your mouth.
Yeah, even I wouldn't have even been able to scream. Like, just like everything just would have been like, but like holding my nose.
Yeah.
Because that's just gross. It's bringing back like Fear Factor vibes, you know, back in the day.
But that's something to always know. There's always one bug competition since the beginning of this show. Now, five couples made it through. Rob and Sierra become safe. That left Danielle, Brittany, Tom, Dylan, Ivor, Sam, Gabby, and Carolyn to face off. They must search for a ring in the box, and they piled that up with the nastiest stuff. So in the end, Sam and Ivor do win, and so does Danielle and Brittany. They're like, Team Big Brother, we did this. And I know the Big Brother fans were screaming, happy, proud of their girls.
I know they were.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a little bit over the top for the celebration, but it was fine. I mean, I know that she was having, you know, a lot going on in the game, so it probably felt really, really good to win. And to do it with Brittany, it just kind of further cemented that little alliance they was talking about, you know, so that was good for her game. And Danielle, she needed that collateral or that capital.
And I think to people who are not watching Big Brother, it was over the top, but we still have to remember this is a whole, they were broken up and will they mend together storyline. So yeah, they're going to lean into anything that happens with Danielle and Brittany, but happy for them.
I was happy for them, but I was a little sad because I'm like, Danielle is safe. And because Danielle rocks with Brittany, Brittany is safe, but I'm like, my girl Gabby, like, she might not be as safe. And so I was like, ugh. I kind of was rooting for Carolyn and Gabby just because I wanted Gabby to have a shield.
That makes sense. I think Carolyn and Gabby made for a great couple because they were trying to hold on, and Carolyn's like, do you want to let go? Do you not want to let go? And I was like, look at this woman-loving woman relationship. We have communication. No one's dipping out. It's going to be agreed upon if we're both dipping out. That's commitment.
I love it. It's giving chaotic by moment.
Now, back at the castle, we have basically some Rob versus Danielle stuff. Rob throws out Brittany's name in the van to Dolores, Sierra, and Chriselle. They're ready to eat it up, and I'm angry about it. He hopes to pin the Derek's murder on Brittany, which again would weaken Danielle. Now, Tom, he tells Ivor, Sam, and Dylan that they need to get rid of Rob. Sam isn't sure. Sam, don't disappoint me. Like, you've been quiet this whole time, and I've been very appreciative, but, like, come on.
Yeah, all he do is work out in his room at night. They be catching him. He be looking great.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you better get right. You better take care of all, you better take advantage of all of this fame you get. Right. DMs is crazy.
Also, he's the main one who has like such a short term memory, because he like a couple roundtable ago, right? He was like, "Oh, if Rob, if you're still here, then it's going to be obvious that you're a traitor." And then we get to this day where another move has made it very clear that Rob's a traitor. And Tom is saying something. He's like, "I don't know." I'm just like, "Sir, like, clock in."
It's like that alpha male stuff. Like, it even happened with who was it? Wes. You know, Wes knew it was Rob. You know what I'm saying? But he's like, "I don't know if I want to cross Rob," because Rob, he give that fear. And he's really good at doing that with other men. Like, if you watch his seasons and stuff like that, like, it's not the Russell technique where he goes for like weaker women or whatever. It's like, no, he'll gather the bigger people that you don't even know, and they'll be the loyalist people with him to the end. So I feel like Sam might have just been drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit, like off and on. I don't know. But that was confusing for me too, because I thought that as soon as the next time came up for Rob to have the opportunity to be gone, he would be gone. And he just wasn't.
Yeah. Right. To be fair, we have also already seen that Sam doesn't take Tom seriously. Because there was that one time he was rambling in the kitchen. And he's like, "I just think he needs some water." So it could be
that it was the messenger.
Yeah. It could
be doing him so dirty.
Now, Rob.
Let me do it so dirty.
Rob tells Sierra, Cashel, and Dolores that he thinks there are only two traitors left, which, how does that math work? Okay, he asks them, why would he kill Derek, sir? Now, Brittany feels the suspicion on her. This is where Big Brother helps you, because most of the time, you're just walking into the room and catching the vibe, and everyone's quiet. Everyone's not making eye contact with you. She's like, "Oh, I guess I'm going to be fighting for my life tonight."
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You already know.
Oh,
right.
If ain't nobody making eye contact with you, that's a telltale sign.
Yeah.
Right.
But she was ready.
Right. But
right. And
I
like, for sure.
Like, she didn't have. Oh, sorry.
No. What were you saying?
No, I didn't think that she gave me enough, though. I'm just saying, like, Brittany, I have, like, her not being able to pick a traitor is not a good reason to not be a traitor. Like, she just kept making that her reason. But I guess it ended up going in her favor, because she didn't give anybody fuel to, you know, flip it on her eventually.
For sure.
But I don't feel like, I feel like she almost went home because she didn't give people enough reason to not pick her. Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit, I was nervous, but I knew that Carolyn and, Danielle really wanted Rob to go.
Yeah.
So that's really ultimately what ended up saving, you know, Brittany in the end. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to this round table, shall we? So, at this round table, it is Dylan who kicks things off with his cover story for Rob, I wrote down. He says, Derek said he'll be murdered, and he suspects Brittany and Rob, but we already heard Rob's defense. So he wants Brittany to defend herself. And it's like, you are so biased. How are you going to be like, "Oh, but we've already heard enough from Rob"? I mean, we kind of have. But still, putting it all on the focus on one person is slimy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially when Derek's theory only made sense if Boston Rob were also a traitor, right? So it's like, for you to be sure about that, you would have to be sure that Boston Rob is, but he keeps like saying out loud, like, "Well, I don't believe that," but it's like, sir.
It didn't make any sense. And then also he told Rob he wasn't going to do that. Like, he told him in the hallway, "I'm not going to, you know, Derek told me this, but we're not going to say that. We just going to say Brittany." You know what I'm saying? And then he go in the round table and immediately he's like, "So Derek said," and he didn't leave it out. And I know Rob had to be shook when he said his name, for real. Even though he deferred to Brittany, You don't say someone's name, period, if you don't want them to be in, like, front of mind in this type of scenario. Like, the least people say your name is the better. Like, come on.
Okay. So, do we want to explore whether Dylan did this kind of to also cut down Rob? Because it's, like, it's so obvious at this point. He got a lot of votes last time. It almost became a tie. So, at this point, it's, like, yeah, I'm going to just tell the full story. We'll see where the chips may. Or do you think he was still fully on Team Rob?
I feel like he was blindly following Rob. And I'm just saying that because I've seen it happen to other people that Rob has played with, especially younger males. It's like a Jedi mind trick, like, follow me, young lad. And Dylan even said, I've always wanted to play with Rob. This is like my dream come true. And somebody like Rob, you in the Kool-Aid, you're done. Like, he don't even have to really even worry about you. You're disposable. He even threw his name out there, you know? So I really don't feel like Dylan knew. Like, I really don't. But I feel like he can act like he did, you know what I'm saying? Like, to help his game or something. But I feel like people are going to think he's a traitor because he was so hardcore going for Rob. Going with Rob, rather.
I mean, I definitely feel like he thought Rob was, like, his biggest ally in the game, for sure.
Yeah.
And, I can't tell if it's because he thought he was a faithful or if he just felt like he was his biggest asset to his game. Because he threw away his vote. You know, it wasn't like he voted in alignment with what Rob wanted, which I feel like would have strongly indicated that he's drinking his Kool-Aid, but he threw his vote away.
Yeah.
Which I felt like, was making a statement. Yeah.
It was like, if he stays, don't murder me. if he goes, the other people can't also be mad at me. I'm throwing it away. Very different from what Chriselle does, which we'll get to. Now, Brittany does start defending herself. Where is Brittany in her blue sweater and headband? She says she saw Dylan struggling with making his decision. And when Derek was trying to tell him where to go, she was like, vote with your own. She wasn't saying that to vote a certain way. Just don't let Derek bully you.
Right. Don't let somebody else play your game. Like, and I feel like I felt like that's what she was saying. Like, okay, like, play your own game. It's kind of like, don't look at nobody else's paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was kind of being the teacher, and that's okay. But I don't feel like she gave enough, like, when she was defending herself. But I do feel like she was right to say, like, look, I wasn't. You're reading that wrong. That's just the wrong thing.
I wonder though if she kept it short and cute and it's the same round table where we do successfully get out a traitor. Maybe it's good because then certainly nothing she said could really trip people up and be like, but should we still think of Brittany? She's like, I'm a faithful. I'm just bad at this. Bloop.
Yeah.
And then Rob spent so much time defending himself.
You're right. You're right. He had no choice. At that point, his boat was sinking. He had so many holes in it. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I feel like the biggest thing was just him voting Derek. Like, I feel like he got intimidated and he moved with emotion. And then instead of them doing the original plan, which I feel like they're going to go on with, is just picking the people who are obviously faithfuls. He went for somebody that he felt like was a threat to him instead of trying to, like, flip it or even go to Carolyn, be like, hey, I know you want Danielle, and then sacrifice, you know, a traitor again, but have Carolyn do it, you know, motivate her. You know what I'm saying? I feel like there was multiple ways for him to get the ex off of him, and he chose the one that was too risky. It was way too risky.
For sure. It was reckless. Now, Dolores gets on my nerves, Quita, because Dolores, she takes offense when Tom said that it was Rob who took Bob down. And she was like, no, don't take away from poor little Dylan. What is her connection to Dylan Efron? Like,
she must really love Zac Efron, because if we remember when Bomb the Drag Queen said that Zac Efron was not a good actor, Dolores took personal offense to that statement.
And so I don't know what that is, but she is not with the slander against Efron at all.
You would think that she was like their aunt or something. She was like, what did you say about my nephew? Like, she was more offended than Dylan was.
Bitch, I'm sure that's not the first time he's heard that people are not the hugest fan of Zac Efron, you know. But I agree. He was doing a lot, but...
Yeah, and again, but I'm just like, and we can be honest, because it's like, Dylan had been calling out Bob for a couple round tables, and nobody was going his way. It was not until Rob spoke up that people were like, okay, I'll go with this theory now. It's like, that move would not have happened if Rob had not spoken up when he did.
For sure.
Exactly.
For sure.
1,000%.
Now, Rob... says that he wouldn't go after Derek because it would make him look bad, but Derek told Brittany, Sam, Dolores, and Rochelle information. He says only one of them would understand that strategy. He just called Sam, Dolores, and Rochelle dumb, and they didn't have anything to say.
I think that it was more about, like, Sam, Dolores, and Rochelle not coming from game shows. You know what I'm saying? Like, where Sam's not from a game show, right? Dolores is a housewife, and Chriselle is Selling Sunset. So I don't think he was calling them dumb. I just think he's saying, who has been here before? Who has had to look at people as pawns before? Who has gone forward in a strategic social game before? Britain. Which I feel like it took a minute for Rob to construct that, because, I mean, how else are you going to flip it? I was waiting. And when he said that, it even had me like, ooh, that's good. And they was eating it for a minute. They were.
But, like, it's Dolores. It's Sam. Yeah, and it's Rochelle.
But they are in... Sorry. But they are the most, like, irrelevant people as far as, like, thoughts towards traitors. Like, none of them have really been...
It's still nuts to me, because it's like everyone has to start somewhere. We're going to see brand new people in Survivor 48. Like, you got to start somewhere, and, like, people go in with great strategy, never being in this before. But also, it's like, wow, like, Sam, Rochelle, Dolores, stand up for yourselves. Mm-hmm. They didn't say anything to that, which is crazy. Yeah. And it's also like, the trainers is so good and so nuts, because all these people come from different walks of life. Mm-hmm. And I know that these gamers are insufferable. Mm-hmm. Insufferable to everyone else. They had it with Wes last time, mm-hmm. when he was talking about, well, I'll just go for all of you if you're not doing it my way. And I would be fed up this time. If Mariano said that to me, I'll be like, oh, really? Right. I'll have to prove myself then, I guess.
Like, he literally insulted everyone in the game by being like, Brittany is the only person here capable of this game move. And I'm like, and this is exactly why you're going home right now. Because you turned on your fellow traitor so quickly because you underestimated their potential of having the game that would work well for you.
But my thing is, I don't even think they followed enough to be insulted. And that's wild to me.
I mean, wild. But I feel like that kind of proved his point, low-key.
Look at Dolores in this Carmen Sandiego fit. It's
that's what I'm saying.
Completely flipped to the side.
Oh, yeah. She looked like a smooth criminal.
But I think what makes it insufferable, though, is, like, the gamers don't even try to give the other people a chance to understand their skill set. And I feel like Phaedra Parks is a great example. I'm like, Phaedra did really well. I mean, Bob was doing really well. Like, he was, like, blowing up the game, but still was staying under the radar, you know?
Right. But I would say, like, with Phaedra, with her being, like, a lawyer, like, I feel like her mind was respected more, you know what I'm saying? And then with Bob, he's such a powerhouse, like such a, like, I'm not going to let you walk over me. Like, you could look at Bob and you could just tell, like, he'd been through that phase in his life where he would let people tell him what to do, and he's just not there no more. You know what I mean? Like, he's here, he's going to be who he is. And so I feel like because they have those types of personalities, people respect them. You know what I'm saying? And people want to play the game with them because they're just like, you know what? You're smart. I'm going to stay over here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to hop in this boat. I feel safe over here. So I don't think that Chrishell, Dolores, or Sam really give that. Like, I feel like they kind of give, like, again, like, the kind of, like, I'm just here, I'm just a girl kind of vibe, like, except for Sam, you know. Like, they want, you know, people to explain to them why they should vote. And there's power in the vote, of
yes,
course.
Yes, there is.
You know? So I feel like they've just been kind of floating, mm-hmm. being a vote, knowing that, hey, look, you have to convince me. I'm going to make you have to tell me why I need to use my vote for this or that.
For sure.
And then there's Chrishell, you know, what? Dolores and Sam more so.
Let's talk about these votes. All right. Gabby gets one, and it's because of Dylan. He cops mm-hmm. out, mm-hmm. which is, wow. That happened last time with Tom. So Dylan and Tom just switched places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Dylan did that before also when Bob was up. Or like when people were, when it was Bob versus Rob, again, yeah. he threw his vote to Gabby instead of actually making a decision on the two people it was really up against.
Then he probably suspected they were both murdered or traitors.
The traitors, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now Brittany gets two votes, Sierra and Rob. Ooh, I wonder where all those girlies are going to go now that Rob can't influence them. Because he had a lot of power with all of those girls.
I'm telling you. I don't know. I feel like people are really going to have to start playing. I think this is we're about to be in the Carolyn era. No offense to Danielle, but I really feel like Carolyn is about to start making, you know, all of that real estate she's been building with the silent, just girl chilling in the back. Mm. We've already seen it happen. When Danielle was saying her name, she knew immediately. Mm. People came to her immediately. So she's been doing the social work already, you know what I'm saying? So if it's gonna end up being Carolyn versus Danielle, I know that based off of how that went earlier, I got Carolyn as far as just information.
Yeah.
Now Danielle, because she stayed on the right side of this vote, I think that brought her back to life a lot
and
more.
Last vote, because remember Danielle voted for Rob last week too. Mm-hmm. So
she did. Mm-hmm. But she was saying Carolyn name the whole time. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So privately, kind of like, but she didn't actually start weird. At the round table. I think that actually gives her a bit of a plus.
Okay.
She's just been floating the name a little bit, but not at the round table with Carolyn, who was like, I'm going to bring this up before she can. And I don't think that was really the time. Talking to Chrishell and Dolores, whatever. Now, Rob, his votes got... he earned votes from Tom, Brittany, Carolyn, Ivor, Danielle, and Gabby. I actually think Tom, Brittany, Carolyn, Ivor, Danielle, and Gabby are probably the most in it when it comes to this game. Mm-hmm. So they are people to watch. Basically, Rob says, since the beginning, which is what, episode 4? Because we didn't let you in, like, the first couple episodes? I don't know. I've been a traitor. And he says in his confessional that he would have taken Carolyn to the end, and he calls Danielle a bad traitor. First of all, I don't think I don't take Rob saying that he would have taken Carolyn to the end as a compliment. I think he underestimates Carolyn, like most mm-hmm. people do, and mm-hmm. thought, oh, like, I would be able to toy with her to the end, not knowing Carolyn was over him as mm-hmm. well. And then for Danielle, I think she is a good traitor. I think she's a bad faithful. Does that make sense?
Hmm.
Like, you have to be both, but, like, traitor-wise, her and Bob, they were running things. Like, she had Bob, who was, like, the magnet of the house. She still has her mm-hmm. own relationships with Brittany, Derek. And if she wasn't protected by anyone, Rob would have not focused on her game to take them out. So I think he's a little bit sour grape. But she also has to be a faithful. And I think that's where she is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know if people suspect her or they think she's weird. Because I'm going to assume Danielle Reyes hasn't been on our on television, even if you watched Big Brother, for a very long time. These people probably do not know who she is, unless they just watched BB Reindeer Games, which is heavily edited. It's not like Big Brother at all. So they don't know her, and maybe Danielle has the benefit of the doubt of like, oh, this is like an erratic woman.
Yeah. For sure. And I think, yeah, folks, I think as a viewer knowing she's a traitor, sometimes it feels like she's a bad traitor. But I think what you're saying of like, she is like not a great faithful, because also that's where she gets caught up in the challenges. It's like she's not clearly thinking of like, girl, you should be protecting yourself. Like she'll just be like making strategic moves that work in the favor of a traitor, but like not a faithful. It's like, girl, take clues from like Tom Sandoval or like Robin Dixon, like, or Chrishell, you know, it's like, play a little bit, I don't know, like protect yourself a little bit in ways that make sense.
Ooh, how the mighty have fallen to say take a page for Robin Dixon and Tom Sandoval.
But I think the thing about it is people, there is no question, they are definitely faithful, right? Like they are not traitors. Like Robin at a round table being like, I'm not confident in anything. Can someone tell me something? She's like, I'm a faithful and I need some convincing, which is like Dolores is the same way. It's like clearly she's a faithful because she's like, no, y'all need to convince me why you're not, because clearly my mind is made up on Rob. So you need to convince me that you're not.
Yeah, that is a very interesting perspective on it. Now, the thing that made me think that Dylan might have known Rob was a traitor, but was protecting him and hoping then Rob would protect him, is that he says in the confessional that he lost a good ally and someone who would protect him. And it's like, from what? Because obviously, like, Rob, he could steer some votes at the round table, but I'm like, I think he knew. Because he could probably protect him beyond the round table. I get two for one, the round table and a murder. But I don't know.
That's what you were saying, like, that you felt like he, his, I understand what you're saying. Like, I just feel like he more so meant, like, somebody to bounce his ideas off of, because he had been talking to Rob the whole game. I mean, like, there wasn't a bit of information that Dylan knew that Rob didn't know.
Yeah.
And I feel like because Rob is the traitor in this instance, that makes him more of a pawn than a queen. You know what I mean? So that's the only reason why I would say, like, I don't know. I feel like Dylan, he just, he fell for the smoke screen. That's how I feel. And I feel like him watching it back, he probably is kind of kicking himself like, man, like, this guy's really good. Because I really don't think that he suspected Rob as much. Maybe, like, towards, you know, at the round table when everybody's like obviously throwing his name and stuff like that. But like during the day, I really feel like he thought that they were friends. And the only reason why Rob was such a big target is because he's Rob, not because he's a traitor legitimately, but because, you know, his reputation precedes him and everything like that. So.
And if he did know that Rob was a traitor and his biggest ally, I think he underestimated how expendable he was to Rob. Because, and I think maybe in ways I did too, because I assumed Dylan was his like number one to the end. But when he says like Carolyn, I was like, well, maybe he really did. Maybe he really did think Carolyn was like the best person to take to the end, because I think he often did underestimate her thinking about the strategic move that was best for her in ways in which Dylan is like a faithful's faithful. He really is trying to get traitors, which could be detrimental to Rob's game. So he's like, he could be willing to cut him loose, because ultimately he is always making connections.
That's all fair. Viewers, you can comment below on whether you think Dylan knew or not, but we get a turret scene, so we are down to Carolyn and Danielle. They have to make a murder, and it will be in person. Danielle tells Carolyn, I got you, girl. And Carolyn's like, yeah, well, we'll see about that. Not really sure. And now she's like, yes. You might have me, but not before Brittany. And that's when we have to remember we are in a love triangle with these guys and Brittany. I mean, great for Brittany, I guess. Or is Brittany might be on her last leg now that we're down to two. And Carolyn's like, you got to choose.
My thing is, like, now they have to make Brittany a traitor or Brittany might be next.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to make the choice if they're going to choose each other or be willing to completely blow up the traitors, you know?
Interesting. I think if they did make Brittany a traitor, that actually gives them even more time. Because Brittany's the one who's getting votes, not Danielle at the round table. And that buys her time. And Carolyn, I guess she's just not really in danger. She's the one who brought up her name at the round table. Now, the people who are in danger for this murder are Chriselle, Dolores, Tom, and Dylan, and Gabby. They go to this cathedral at the end. They're making their confessions and they're red. And they are all turning around and we'll find out who's going to get murdered. Who do we think will get murdered?
I think that Dylan is up just because, like, I do agree with, like, Rob's strategy in the beginning where, like, you vote for people that are obviously faithful. And I think that Dylan is obviously faithful and he's kind of an island now that he doesn't have Rob, so I don't know if anybody really but Dolores will be as bothered by him going. So you don't really upset anyone. You kind of just kind of have everybody kind of confused. You know what I'm saying? And him going out right after Rob when they were so close is kind of like, okay, like, what's going on here? Because I don't know if anybody thinks that Dylan could potentially be a traitor because he was so close to Rob, you know, them going out back to back. But I don't know. I'm just thinking it could be Dylan.
I also think it could be Gabby because Dylan now is isolated. He made that vote towards Gabby, and that's the second time that he's done that. And to take Gabby out could then cast suspicion on Dylan, and Rob was his number one in the game.
That would be good. Yeah. I would like that a lot.
Yeah. I'm like, if they're thinking of, like, let's keep Dylan in a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I'm just like, take out Gabby, which is why I wanted her to get a shield because he's brought up her name multiple times.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm just now realizing all the Cage Boys are gone.
They are.
Yes.
Because, I mean, not that we didn't want them to begin with, but it was kind of a little bit weird. Like, I was excited to see how, the chessboard was going to go with just the players that they had. So I feel like the wild card is over. Like, dust is kind of settled. It sucks that we lost Bob the Drag Queen in the process, you know.
Yeah.
But now we're kind of, like, restarting and, all right, ready, go.
Ready.
You know, so I'm excited to see.
Yes. Did we give all of our choices? You said Gabby. We talked about Dylan. For me, honestly, when Chriselle said, you know, I don't want to be the deciding vote, I'm like, you're useless. You're useless in this game then, and I'm murdering you. Because, like, if it comes down that I can't even trust you to vote when we all gave you this evidence, then what are you doing here?
No, I agree because, like, no vote doesn't help anybody. Like, no. In a throwaway vote, that's another reason why I was thinking that Dylan, you know, could have been up. Because, like, a throwaway vote, not picking a side sometimes is all people need to feel like, all right, like, this guy, he's not going to vote in a block. He's not in my alliance. Same thing with Chriselle. I mean, I feel like Chriselle, because she is kind of, like, no man's land, like, nobody really feels like she's a threat, they might keep her around because of that. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to bag on Chrishella. I feel like I have this whole episode, but like, she just hasn't really given me anything to where if I was a traitor, I would think that she would be on to me in any capacity. I feel like she's been leaning, you know, to the left and to the right way too much. But somebody like that is someone I want in the game. Like,
yeah,
girl, throw your vote away, you know?
Or like, she can be expendable because doesn't have clear loyalty, you know? Because it's like, for her to be like so pro Bambies and then immediately turn on Nikki, it's like, oh, where is her loyalty, right? And like, she seemingly was loyal to Rob all of a sudden, but now Rob is gone, right? So like, who is she loyal to in this game? I don't know if she has a relationship with Danielle or with Carolyn.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because I don't know if y'all watch Selling Sunset.
Yo, that's what I'm saying. This is wild. This is the conversation if you're a Selling Sunset fan.
Yeah, so I am. And like, Chrishella, her character or herself in her real life or whatever you want to call it, is known for losing her best friend, like flipping on her best friend, like, or getting close to somebody and then having a falling out, you know?
Yeah.
Or she never gets along with the main character girl. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like Nikki, her flipping on Nikki, I was like, yep, typical. Because as soon as she get close to somebody and they're like, somebody thinks something of them, she always goes with what the other people think versus what her friend has been for her. At least that's how I feel, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you see it a couple of times in the show.
Wild. Okay, guys, we are at the end of this recap, which means we have to pick a beautiful black moment. I'm going to take mine, and it's going to be Danielle in that red dress and head wrap because it is so good. Love it.
Okay, cool.
How about you?
Mine's just going to be Sierra, just because she's beautiful and black. So every moment is a beautiful black moment.
I really loved her, like, it was like a metallic fit. She had a metallic bodysuit, that gold belt, and then the trench coat for, like, breakfast and everything.
Mm-hmm. You've been looking great the whole show. Mm-hmm. Huge fan.
Wild. Quita, how about you?
I didn't talk about this earlier, but my beautiful black moment is Danielle in the turret, straight up saying to Carolyn's face, no, you're my number one because you have to be because I owe you.
Yes.
Being so blatantly honest in a way that I'm just like, wow, I don't know if I appreciate that or I'm like worried about
so
how
funny.
Carolyn's going to take it because it's like that level of honesty, you know, it's like, I don't know, because Carolyn's like, I don't know if I trust her, but I'm like, no, girl, she's being straight up honest with you right now that, like, you were her biggest ally in this game because Rob was the biggest threat, and now that he's out, she feels like she can trust you again.
Yeah,
right.
I think also this was very Big Brother of her because she's, like, kind of trying to remind her of the facts instead of being, like, emotional about this. It's like, for one, we have to work together, and, like, Carolyn, like, guffawed at that, but that's true.
Yeah.
Like, we are traitors in this game. We have to work together. And two, I owe you. And it's like, in Big Brother, that could be like the one thing is the evidence of, have you guys worked together by voting together? Or, I did this for you. I used this power for you or whatever. Next week, I'm not putting you up on the block or something like that, you know?
Right.
So,
Yeah,
how about
no.
Chaotic Bi moment? Savaya, go ahead.
Yeah, my Chaotic Bi moment is when Alan says crumpet muncher in his
Look,
in the breakfast.
I was, I I noted that in my head, and I was like, how am I going to work this into the episode? Like, we were going in so much on Chriselle, and she had a huge reaction to that moment, but I was like, I can't. I can't talk about her munching crumpets like this. I'm upset with her.
Ellen is hilarious. That was perfect, and I was just like, yes, so I already know. I looked, like, I typed it in my little notes, and I was like, chaotic by a moment, Ellen, crumpet muncher, comment. Like, I already knew.
How about you, Guida?
I think, like, the fashions, just how over the top they were, especially Carolyn's during the challenge, Gabby's during the challenge, and Gabby walking down the aisle. Like, just how... Like, yeah, the Fitz gave this out, this episode, and I was loving it, especially the queers. The queers came through with the outfits.
Absolutely. I agree. For me, for chaotic by moments, I think I'm going to... Oh, I'm really thinking about this because I had one. Oh, it was actually, for some reason, something that Carolyn was doing made Alan laugh, and it was a genuine laugh. I could tell that, like, he might have not known if he was being filmed that time, because he was, like, trying to hold back the laugh a little bit, and I'm like, I love this. It's just two bisexuals having fun, and he's so good of a performer. I like that he could, like, also genuinely be entertained by these ridiculous people. Oh,
definitely. Something that was just kind of, like, random that we didn't talk about, too, was during the challenge, did y'all see them show Fergus eating those chips?
No.
Yes. It was so random.
It was so random. It was like, what? Like, I don't even know why they put, they're just paying to him, and he's just over there like, I'm like, what is going on?
What is going on with Fergus? If you're going to have Fergus, figure out how to use him, because sometimes he'll be like, his biggest scene last season was when he was in the dungeon and, like, got out Kate. I don't know what his scene this season will be, but Fergus is way in the background, too, in the background.
Right. I'm like, hopefully it's not these chips, because he was into it. Like, that was hilarious, though. I'm just trying to, like, go through my notes and see if there's anything else we didn't talk about, and I literally just put Fergus eating these chips. What's going on?
Okay. Is there anything else, Quita, that you wanted to say?
No. I mean, other than yay, Rob is gone.
Ray?
Yes.
Yay, Rob is gone. The original cast took back their cast. I'm sorry, but I can't help to think these producers wanted Wes, Rob, and Derek so badly. They put them in later, make one of them a traitor, and I'm like, will this cast rebel against this favoritism? Will they stand up to fascism? And they did.
I'm screaming, not fascism.
They said no, we did not want them in the game. And it's like, they didn't make it easier, especially Rob and Wes did not make it easier for themselves. Derek was trying to be like a faithful. Like, Wes, literally, you are a faithful, saying to all the other faithfuls, if you vote for me, I have my eye on you, sir.
Yeah, like, that was just shot in the foot.
It would have been perfect if Bob stayed and this still happened. Imagine. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. He would have ran this whole thing through.
I know. He was too powerful. And
they always are.
All right, Sabaya, where can people follow you? What are you up to these days?
I'm just, you know, always just living my best life out here in North Carolina. I just wrapped up my Toys for Tots campaign, so I just doing paperwork and stuff. We did a lot of charity this winter, gave a lot of toys out. So I've been kind of all out of the scene because I've been so focused on that. So it's been great to kind of like emerge and come up on here with you. I know we got Survivor 48. In the cut, so I'm planning dates, moving stuff around, but yeah, like, you can follow me on Instagram at underscore the solar like your soul Poppy on X or Twitter for us old heads. I am underscore Aunt Beezy. Facebook, I'm Sabaya Broderick. I usually, if you're weird, you know, I won't, you know, Facebook is more for like family and friends, but yeah, for those of you guys that are like cool, you know, give me a follow, send something sweet. Always looking for the good vibes.
Nice. And what about you, Quita?
You can follow me on Instagram at @hello_Quita.
Nice. And please follow Black by Reality across all socials. We are going to continue our recaps of The Traitors. And we are going to get into Love is Blind next week, season 8. Once again, Quita is no longer co-hosting on that, but I will announce who is going to be joining me, and we'll have guests. Sabaya, you're supposed to be coming on for the first episode, so I'm excited to talk to you about that.
Love is Blind. Love is Blind is so hilarious, and it's beautiful first, you know, but also we get a lot of drama, a lot of comedy, a lot of entertainment. So happy that they're, you know, coming into their, did you say 8th season?
8th.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my gosh. I remember when it started. That's so wild.
2 years. Yeah. They've been checking it out. Like, yeah. Married at First Sight. It's the same mm-hmm. company. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
We'll talk about that. Of course, like Sabaya said, Survivor 48 is coming up. So I will be doing recaps and hopefully an interview or two for that. And other than that, I mean, I've been talking about Singles Inferno 4 through YouTube Shorts and TikTok if you wanted to see my reactions, because this season has been wild. This is what I wanted to say. Okay, guys, please, please, please watch Clean Slate on Amazon. It's starring Laverne Cox. It's a little 8 episodes. It's a little comedy. Get some laughs in. We have not had Laverne as like a main character on the show in forever. Like she started with Orange is the New Black, which is the start of Netflix. Like
right.
So, and there is what
you say. Black Clean Slate. I'm gonna have to watch.
Clean Slate. Yes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, have that, and maybe I will do a video just talking my quick thoughts, because the love story is already messy in 8 episodes.
I'm intrigued. Yeah.
So that's about it, guys. I hope you feel visible and stay visible today. Bye.
Bye.